morning, everyone. If you have a copy of God's Word, I hope you will turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today, verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you're turning there, a couple of things to say. What a great day of worship. So great to see each and every one of you, to see so many baptized this morning and letting their faith be lived out loud. How great that is. Let me challenge you to sign up and be a part of Vacation Bible School so we can see more people accept Christ and be baptized. And you can sign up, as it's been stated down the front foyer. It'll make a huge difference, and I encourage you to do so. It's been stated as well. It doesn't matter what your skill level, giftedness is, you can help. There's something for you to do, and we would love for you to be a part of it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. We'll study this passage today. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to launch into 2 Timothy, so you may want to be reading through that book of the Bible. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for your word. Thank you for what it's going to say to us today as we study it. We thank you that it is living and active, and that as we study your word, we can be confident that your Holy Spirit is bringing application to the hearts of your children. So, Lord, we pray today, asking you to speak, knowing that you will. We surrender our lives to you already, and whatever it is you lay upon our hearts, God, we will make those commitments today. So speak to us in a way where we can hear it, that we will be responsive, and that our lives will be changed forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we've been in our series, All Things New. We're now in February, it's hard to believe, but we've been thinking about how in a new year we often set goals, or we think about at least how we want to be different people. All of us, whether or not we set goals, are people who want to be a better version of ourselves. We wish maybe we saved more money, or we exercised more often, or we might hope for a promotion in our job. There are things in life that aren't quite where we want them to be, and we want change to come. And that's what resolutions end up being all about. Well, we've been through that journey together. We've talked about the material side of things and how we need to have a good system of managing our resources that God's entrusted to our care. And then we talked about the physical part of life last week and the value of life. And we talked about the importance even of exercise and taking care of our bodies. Today we're going to talk about the spiritual side of life and some changes that need to be made there. Now, last week when we talked about diet and exercise, we know all that stuff's important. We joked about a lot of you doing team lean or team mean, we might call it, because you're so hungry and you're aggravated by the whole thing. We know exercise is important. We can tell when we've been taking care of ourselves. The other day, I was out using my pressure washer, and I love a pressure washer. I've been teased about it. As a matter of fact, don't do it now, but you will get a good laugh if you go on YouTube, type my name in the search bar. There's a parody video that Ross Brooks made about me, and it may have included John Cook and Ree Wiley with giant Marty faces on, dancing with little clips from my sermons through the years. It's really obnoxious and I hate it. Put a thumbs down review on it when you look at it. But on there they teased me because there was a time I said something about how much I love pressure washing things, and I'll come pressure wash your driveway for free. Well, I have my pressure washer out, and I bought this new attachment. It's one of these round disc things, and it has the heads inside of it that spin around, and you can pressure wash a sidewalk or your driveway, and it won't leave the street mark. So I had that, and I was pressure washing things, and I pressure washed the deck and the house, and I was just getting carried away, and I enjoyed it so much, until the next day, if you've been out working in the yard and you're out of shape like me, you pay the price the next day, right? I could hardly walk. I was really sore all over, and I realized I was not in good shape. Today, I tell that story because for a lot of us, we know what it's like to be physically out of shape. We feel the pain of it, but we often overlook the times when we're spiritually out of shape. And for a lot of us today, you may look really good in the mirror when you wake up in the morning. I mean, you're singing how great thou art when you look in the mirror. I mean, you just are, it's amazing how good you look. But spiritually, you're not all that fit. Spiritually, you're a little out of shape. And today we want to be challenged about that. Paul's speaking powerfully about that as we study the Word of God. And we want to make some commitments to exercise the faith component of our lives, to strengthen our walk with the Lord, and to have a healthy diet of God's Word. So that's where we're headed. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And we want to grow spiritually and be spiritually fit. So we're first challenged with this as we break down this passage of Scripture. If you're taking notes, write this down. Don't waste your life on the wrong things. Don't waste your life on the wrong things. Look back there at verse 7. But have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Now, there are some funny ways that's worded. I'm not going to get into all of that because I will get in trouble, but your translation may make you chuckle depending on what translation of God's Word you have. But it talks about there not getting tangled up in pointless and silly myths. What is Paul talking about? He's speaking about the danger of buying into false teaching. Now, we live in an era of Christianity where people have little knowledge of what they truly believe. They have a poor handle on the doctrines of our faith. And as a result, they're susceptible to false teaching. And if you think that's not true, just go on Facebook and look at how many Christian people, no offense if this is you, and you may get mad when I say it, but how many people are putting up quotes from Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and all these other false teachers out there spreading bad doctrine. Or they cherry-pick verses that they want to use to affirm what they've already decided and the way they're living, and they want some verse they cherry-pick out of the Bible to affirm what they've already chosen to believe. What we do is like what Paul talks about, which we'll start in our study of 2 Timothy in just a couple of weeks, but chapter 4, verse 3 of 2 Timothy says this, "For the time's going to come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear." We live in a world like that. A world that's just filled with people who are okay believing what is right in their own eyes and getting other people around them to affirm what they have decided to believe at their foredrawn conclusions, holding to myths, as Paul calls them in verse 7, myths that are pointless and silly. I would tell us today, and what Paul's trying to tell us, I believe, is that as believers, we need to focus on things that matter, like who we are in Christ and learning more and more about what that means for us. Because if you're in your life, what you need is a growing, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with the Lord that is making you more like your Lord. But for a lot of people, that's not the case. And perhaps for you today, you settle for just less than what really matters. You dabble in your faith a little bit, but devote yourself to all types of distractions, to temporal things of this world that really don't matter at all. And we get so prone to doing that. So speaking of those devoted to pointless and silly myths, or old wives' tales, maybe as your translation has it, Paul is speaking of people who embrace things as if they're uneducated or they're philosophically unsophisticated. They're choosing things that are lesser, that are foolish. They're focusing on the wrong things. And we see this all the time in the lives of Christian people. We see it in the church. A lot of times we do this with traditions. And you know how people get hung up on traditions in church life and traditions that have no root in Scripture. Now, it's okay to have preferences. We all have preferences. But sometimes people take those preferences and turn them into convictions, don't they? I tell you, as a pastor, you never know what minute thing is going to blow up into a major, major issue in someone's mind, because we get disturbed about the wrong things. And so often we get more disturbed about our traditions than our traditions being changed than we get worked up about whether or not people are getting saved. You've heard of churches before where they're more concerned about the color of the carpet than they are about lost people coming in and walking on that carpet. distracted by the wrong things, living for the wrong things. They might be music preferences or schedules or programs or whatever the case may be. And what I have seen, sadly, I'm getting old. I've been in full-time ministry for more than 2 decades now. And I have never, not one time, and don't do it today just to make a point, but I've never had anyone come to me complaining because we haven't been baptizing enough people, that we haven't had enough church members out sharing the gospel. No one's ever complained to me about something like that. But we get lost in trivial things. Never is it about sincere issues of doctrine. It's always about tertiary, unimportant things. On occasion, one time in a church experience, I was doing a Sunday night thing, and we were talking about different questions people may have. It was a lot of off-the-wall kind of stuff, and someone asked the question, well, do our pets go to heaven? Now, I may offend you right now, but I just share what I understood from the Bible. I mean, there are animals in heaven. We read of that, but we don't read anything about our pets going to heaven. Now, don't get confused. There's a movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven, but that's not in the Bible. Don't get those two things mixed up. But this lady was convinced that her dog had gone to heaven, and she got mad at me, and she let me have it, and she left the church because I said I wasn't sure if her little foo-foo was going to heaven. We get upset about the wrong things, unimportant things, and we never get upset about things that really matter. So often we live our lives for things that really don't matter. So Paul tells us, don't devote your life to false things, false teaching. Don't devote your lives to things of this world or man-made traditions that have no basis in the Bible, but devote yourself to the Lord. Because if not, you're expressing the behavior of a foolish person, an uneducated person. A person who has no philosophical sophistication about them. You're giving your life over to the wrong things. So as you think about the rest of 2019, and you're thinking of how you can be a better version of yourself and achieve more and experience more and live your life the right way, then live for the right things. Don't waste your life on the wrong things. You know, it's been a tough week in Thomasville, right? The Hooks family, they're here today, and I'm just so amazed by that. I'm kind of emotional even thinking about it. God bless you guys, and we're praying for them. And I think about Harrison and the difference he made. I was reflecting on this, that 8 years on this earth had more impact than a lot of people who live 80 years. Bill shared with me yesterday that there are at least 5 people who have already accepted Christ through all that's happened. And I just think about it, that's a life well lived, even at 8 years old. And what about the rest of us today? How are we living our lives for the glory of God? Are we out telling people about Jesus? Are we out making a difference? Or are we just lost in trivial things that really don't matter like most of the world? Paul says, don't follow after those silly myths and unimportant things. They're based in nothing. Live your life for what really matters. So then he tells us, to live a life that really matters, don't get lost in the wrong things, but instead get spiritually fit. That's the second thing I want you to note here today. Get spiritually fit. Some of you are big into working out. I would ask you to raise your hand if you do CrossFit, but you've already told us, okay? So we won't ask you to do that. A lot of people CrossFit people are going to beat me up because they're like real big and muscular. But anyway, God bless you for that. I'm sorry. I repent. Let me get down and ask your forgiveness. But a lot of you are really disciplined. Some of you, you're at the gym when the door opens. You're doing the bike. You're doing the routines. You're doing all that stuff. You're really fit and disciplined. You take great care of yourself. If you're going to get spiritually fit, what we're talking about today, it's going to take discipline. Now, when we think about discipline, sometimes we think of just regiment. We think about duty and responsibility. I'm not talking today about just going through the motions of Christianity and learning a bunch of Bible verses and coming to church a lot, some heartless religion that's driven by a cold and legalistic heart. Look at the model of Paul. Paul was a man who grew in his faith, not out of some lifeless, begrudging duty. He grew in faith because of his heart for God, his passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing Christ. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, not even worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And he says this, look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Kind of a Popeye moment there. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, listen to this. I worked harder than any of them. So he's talking about, I was disciplined. I went after it. I grew in my faith. I gave everything to my relationship with God. Yet not I. It wasn't duty. It wasn't just responsibility. It was the grace of God that was with me. And the grace of God, the Spirit of God that worked in Paul's life, is at work in your life today. And you have a responsibility. You have this opportunity to grow in your faith. Because as a follower of Jesus, I'm telling you today, if you're here in this room and you say, yes, I am a child of God, I've accepted Christ, I'm a follower of Jesus, here's what you need to understand. God is leading you, and he is convicting you to grow in your relationship with God. You know, that's a lot of confidence for a pastor, that I can stand here and preach today because I know while I'm preaching, God is telling you to do what I'm telling you to do. Because it is the will of God for all of us to grow closer to God in our relationship with him. So God is telling you that today. God's calling you to make the commitments we're talking about from the Word of God, to get spiritually fit. God's leading you today to grow closer to him. No matter where you are in that journey, God's calling you closer. How do we do it? What does it require? Several things I want to point out as we talk about getting spiritually fit. Number one, I want you to notice, it's commanded. Look back at verse 7. Instead of getting tangled up in godless myths and foolish tales about things, false doctrine, he says there, instead of that, train yourself in godliness. We're told here to grow in our relationship with God, to train ourselves, to take on the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Listen, a Christian in right relationship with the Lord is a Christian growing more like the Lord each day. That's what you're called to do. It's a journey toward the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is a pilgrimage of spiritual progress. And I believe that God is speaking to many of us this morning who've stalled in that journey. People who are not becoming more like Jesus. Your faith, a picture of your spiritual life is like a visit to your grandma's house. You ever go to your grandma's house and you walk in and it's like another decade? It's 1990 or 80 or 70 or 60, however old your grandparents are, but it's frozen in time, right? Back in the fall, we were in Virginia. I went up to Monticello, to Thomas Jefferson's home, and you go back, you go to that place, it's like going back in time. Everything's got the furnishings of a home of that era. They've restored everything meticulously back to that era. And a lot of us today, our faith is like that. It's frozen in time. Our faith is like the day when we gave our lives to Christ, we got saved, and then we said, okay. Or some of you, your faith is frozen in time to that time you were at summer camp when God spoke to you, and that's the last spiritual moment that you really have where you connected with God. You were just frozen in time at some point, back in some glory day moment, you got to a point when you said, good, this is where I'll stay. I've gotten to this point, that's far enough in my journey, that is enough. God, I love you, but I'm not going to get too radical about this thing. God, I love you, I'm going to grow my faith, but only to this point because I'm not going to get too uncomfortable. I'm not going to get so carried away that this stuff starts disrupting my life. And what we need to see today is that God is calling us to an ever-growing relationship with him, and we're commanded to do so in Scripture. Now, it's an important command because the natural man, your natural desire and inclination is not to become spiritual, it's not to become godly, but quite the opposite. Now, here's an important point about this. Notice as you're commanded whose responsibility it is. What does he say? Train who? Train yourself. It doesn't even say here, pastors, go train everybody in the church to be godly. It doesn't say, Josh, the youth minister, make sure you're training all those kids to be godly. It's your responsibility that they end up godly. But what happens? All through the years. I was a youth minister years ago. Ray Wiley will tell you back when he was a youth minister, parents will come to you and blame you because their kid's not growing spiritually. their kids out doing things on the weekend or not involved in church, and it's somehow the church's fault, it's the youth minister's fault, it's somebody else's fault, it's the life group leader's fault. And Paul says, train yourself to be godly. It's your responsibility. Your faith is your responsibility. And some of you today, you haven't grown like you should because you're thinking it's everybody else's fault for how you are in your walk with the Lord. But it's your responsibility. When I was in college, some guys that were discipling me, they put it in these terms. That to be the Christian disciple you need to be a fat Christian. Now, they weren't referring to size. They were referring to an acronym that you need to be faithful, you need to be available, and you need to be teachable. Because if you're going to go forward in your spiritual life and you're going to train yourself and you're going to let others be influencers in your life and you're going to receive the Word of God and be changed, you have to be faithful, available, and teachable. Three marks of a committed disciple. So don't look to others and blame others, but take responsibility. Train yourself to be godly. Next, we're going to get spiritually fit. I want you to note, it makes a real difference. You know, it's great to exercise, to take care of your body. We know that. But it doesn't compare in any way to the difference it makes to take care of your spiritual life. Look at verses 8 and 9. For the training of the body has limited benefit. Paul's saying, yeah, that's good. It helps you. But godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Now, what Paul's telling us is that being spiritually fit is going to be a blessing to you in life. Being connected with God, walking with Him, God helping you deal with the problems you face, Him putting your life decisions in the context of His plan for your life, all these wonderful benefits, the joy and peace that comes with walking with God that can't be found anywhere else in this world. And not to mention that being connected with God and having the spiritual life connected with the Lord enables an eternal life, and how growing in your faith fits you for heaven. Now I want you to see how that can happen, how we can grow in our faith and this real difference can come about. Look back at verse 6. Here's one of the primary ways you can be spiritually fit. It says they're nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. So a steady diet of the Word of God leads to spiritual health. It's the Word of God that is one of the most transformational things in your spiritual growth and fitness. How many of you are going to go eat lunch today, right after church? Okay, four people. There'll be plenty of room for me at the restaurant, okay? So none of y'all are going to eat. You bunch of liars. Y'all are going to tackle someone to get some good food at a buffet or somewhere. You're going to go eat, and you're going to get nourished. And then after you eat too much, what's tonight? The Super Bowl. And you bunch of gluttons, some of you are going to put down 100 chicken wings. You're going to eat way too much. You're going to eat. But even when it's bad, we know we have to eat, right? It's fuel for the body. We have to take in nourishment. We have to receive sustenance in our lives. And that's what we need spiritually. We have to daily consume spiritual nourishment that comes through the Word of God and our personal devotion. So I challenge you, if you want to grow, if you want to be spiritually fit, it's going to come through daily time in the Word of God. As you read the Word, it will nourish your body spiritually. It's going to require a weekly gathering with God's people to hear the teaching of the Word of God. It says they're not only nourished by the words of faith, but also the good teaching that you follow. Now, don't get confused. It's not just saying good teaching like Marty preaches a good sermon. So you're okay. You can still come if it's not good teaching. He's talking about what we're teaching, the good truth of the gospel. So we have to weekly gather with God's people. Think in terms of the healthy foods you eat. If you've been eating a lot of junk food and you are just not eating what you should, you can't just eat an apple one day and all of a sudden magically you're in good health, right? It doesn't just come with a one-time thing. It's a steady diet. I tease Reed. He jokes about how he'll just eat bad all through the year, and then a week before his annual physical, he'll start eating salads every day for lunch, and that's just going to fix everything. And we joke with him about that. Just like you have to be faithful in your diet, spiritually you have to be faithful day by day and week by week to be a healthy person what's true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm. Now, that seems like a lot of time, doesn't it? A lot of energy. It's hard enough to keep up with your physical body. What about now your spiritual body? It seems like so much. But listen, it does take effort, because God is calling you to an ever-growing relationship with Him, one of discipline, of sacrifice, and devotion. Jesus said this: if anyone's going to come after me, he must take up his cross. He must deny himself and follow me. Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and no longer is I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we die to self. We train ourselves to be godly. We give up what we want for the glory of God. It's a choice you make. It's a discipline you take on. Notice what Paul said there in our passage in verse 10. For this reason we labor and strive. Now, the word labor means to grow weary. Being faithful in your walk with God, it's not just all joy and life filled with being on the high of everything. It includes valleys. It includes the dips, the difficulties. Life can be hard, and this is difficult for a lot of people, because when the bad times come, they go, well, I don't want to grow anymore. I don't want to read my Bible. Life's hard, and where's God in all of this? And they mistake that somehow the spiritual journey is just all good stuff. And what we need to understand is we have to press on even when we grow weary, even when we've lost our desire to labor in the journey with Jesus. The promise of the blessed life and eternal life should drive us to walk with the Lord. So Paul says we labor, then he says we strive. That's another athletic exercise type term in the original language. It means to agonize in your relationship with God, to labor and strive, to press through the weariness, to keep going through the agony of life, and to press forward in your walk with the Lord. Even when times are hard, don't let go of your relationship with God. Paul would later say in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved. Be faithful, be passionate, agonize over your relationship with God. Put all you have into it, because this final thing, it's worth it. Look at what he says in our passage: because we have put our hope in the living God, who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Now, your commitment to Christ and growing spiritually is going to come at a cost. It will require sacrifice. It's going to cost you something, maybe rejection from others. It could lead to persecution. Paul had plenty of that, but it was worth whatever the cost, because your hope is in the right place. Your hope is tied to the only person who really matters. Your hope is in the living God, the Savior of all people. It's worth everything you give to it to get spiritually fit. So as we conclude today, I want to ask you, would you make this the year that you grow spiritually? I mean, come on, some of us, we've been saved for years, and it's, oh, I'm going to start tomorrow, next month. We think eventually we're going to get things back on track. How about today? How about right now? You commit to the Lord that the rest of this year, you're going to get spiritually fit, and you're going to grow in your relationship with the Lord. You're going to commit to read your Bible every day. You're going to commit to be here each week for life group and the worship time we share together. You're going to do the things you need to do to get spiritually fit. Can we make that commitment together? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. The challenge we have today to not just think about in a new year how we need to be physically fit, but God, how we need to be spiritually fit. It's more important. It has value for all things. Every arena of life has helped when we're walking with you, Lord. So, Father, we want to get spiritually fit. We want to do the things we need to do. We want to connect with you. And as we've talked about, one of the primary ways to do that is through daily time reading the Bible. So, Lord, help us to make that commitment today. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe for you, you haven't really grown in your faith. Maybe you're new to faith. God's just calling you right now to just start reading the Bible, maybe for the first time. Would you commit just to read a little bit every day? Maybe start in the Gospel of John, just read the story and the life of Jesus Christ. Would you make a commitment to do that? Just tell the Lord, Lord, I commit. I'm going to spend a few moments reading the Bible every day. For others of you, you've been acquainted with the Bible your whole life. You've been in Bible studies. You've done all kind of things, but things have just been flat lately. The journey with Jesus has stalled, and you've just been camping out instead of moving forward. Right now, would you get that walk with Jesus back on track? Will you start walking with him again and stop just resting in complacency? Right now, would you commit to the Lord? Lord, my faith has been stale. I'm not where I need to be. I've grown comfortable. I've grown complacent. And today that stops. The rest of this year, God, 2019, just as I would get physically fit, I'm getting spiritually fit. God, I commit that to you. And some of you today, you're walking with Jesus. You are close to the Lord. You're doing the things you need to do. But you're still challenged because when you're close to Jesus, you just want to get closer. And an old guy walked up to me at the end of the last service. He said, I pray every day, God, is there something else I need to be doing for you? This guy's 89 years old. You never stop growing closer to Jesus. There's more to learn, more to experience, greater conviction to express. So even if you're walking with the Lord, would you pray to the Lord right now? Look, Lord, right now, I commit to you in 2019, I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to go on this great adventure with you, and as you speak, I'm going to respond. I pray that you would lead me to deeper experiences with you. God, I'm going to continue to get fit for your glory. Lord, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for the commitments we can make together. Help us now as we express those through song. And I pray, Lord, for those who need to receive Christ today, those that need to respond, that they would do so. And Lord, I pray that they would have the courage to become followers of Jesus Christ. There are some today, maybe you've already placed your faith in Christ, but it's been held in. You haven't expressed it. Today, I'm going to be waiting at the front for you. You walk forward and say, Marty, I want to express that I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to be baptized, maybe. If that's what God's calling you to do, I'll be waiting for you this morning. If you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come. Meet me here at the front. Let's settle that right here and right now in this moment. You become a follower of Jesus. Trust him as the sacrifice for your sins. If you need to join this church family, some joined this morning, others joined last week. Maybe God's calling you right now to join our church. You make your way forward. Meet me here at the front, right here, right now as we sing. Let's all stand together and let's further commit our lives to the Lord.